Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by
Wellspring Christian Family Schools,
the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Have you ever wondered if the things that you're doing in your home on a day-to-day basis are making a difference for eternity? Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged about what we're doing, things that no one else can see, and we wonder if we couldn't have a bigger impact if we were doing something differently. Well, Pastor Gary is going to take up that very question in the second part of a message that we began last week called Treasures and Jars of Clay. It's one of our workshop messages from the February 2019 workshop done at Wellspring Christian Family Schools. And we're going to hop right back into the message, Treasures and Jars of Clay, Part 2. Here's Pastor Gary.
Continuing on in the passage. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, and life in you. Can you receive that as a structural foundation for how you live your life and how you impact others in the world around you? Death is at work in you, so that life is at work in others. So when you think about the adornment of the gospel, how you respond, when circumstances come your way that are death, that's your opportunity. That's your stage. It's your stage to shine forth and demonstrate what real life is all about, so the others watching recognize and get to understand what that life is, and then life will work in them. Here's an interesting thing. How many times have you taught your children, attempted to teach your children something, but you yourself really were struggling with that point? You really weren't believing it yourself. So I just love the way Paul writes it here. Since we have the same spirit of faith as according as it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. Your speech to your children, to anyone you're ministering to, your speech is to spring out of your faith. And sometimes with your faith being attacked and you recognize what's truth, you speak what's true, and that first speaking of truth helps set the stage for you to stay on track and to walk in faith. Because when we speak the truth, we're walking in the place of knowing. Knowing that the Lord who raised up Jesus from the dead will also raise us up and bring us with him into his presence. So you have to ask that practical question. In the momentary circumstance that I'm ready to brush aside in frustration because it's interfering with my course and my plan that I have, in that momentary point, am I aware that the Lord himself is bringing us a visit with the point of faith and trust? There's more than this. There's more than this. This is not the goal. This is part of life in which God brings to us the genuine goals by which we seek for life in his presence. And then finally, the last verses here. For it is all for your sake, so that the grace So that as grace extends more and more to more people, may increase in thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Can you apply that thought to your mind? Freshly, anew, today, this morning, in your circumstances, something comes up. It's interfering at the least. It's frustrating at the most. And can you pause and remember, God's doing something eternal, and he wants to do it in you for your children's sake, so that they can get the message, so that they can understand the hope, and so that they can cling to everlasting life. So though our outer self is wasting away, our inner, I don't know what's the problem with this mic, but sorry about that. It's okay, I think. It's just, maybe it's too dry in here, or I'm just electrified. Our outer self is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Advantage of having listened to that clip from Johnny. But I got it. And here she is, trapped totally. And she was pretty plain about what it means to be trapped in a body that you can't do anything for. You other people have to feed you. Every aspect of your life is cared for by someone else. For her now, it's over 50 years. I get it. But the scripture here calls it, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And as Johnny created that illustration in my mind, for that a day is as 1,000 years, there's a huge eternal investment in the moment. Our light affliction is for a moment. And even in Johnny's eyes, if it's been 50 years, it's just 50 moments. It's not a forever thing. And so it's momentary. But it has a value. And I think that in terms of if we were to invest money in some project or try to earn capital wealth, and somebody said, well, if you just invest a penny in this item, you'll become a millionaire. We would say, what? And we'd all start hunting for pennies. But that's really what the Lord's saying. It's the things that we disregard. It's the things that we count as not important. The things that are snapping at us, robbing us of our strength. It's the outer self that's getting interfered with. Calls it wasting away. But the inner man needs to see. And your children will never see what you don't display. And as I think of what often happens in the moment of our frustration, you know, very often children see a momentary display of frustration that convinces the child, they've seen it enough, that convinces the child that this is the path not working, not worth going down. And I've had the sad situation occur where I've heard homeschooling children, or children who've homeschooled who's now or now married and have their own children, and they aren't homeschooling. And I asked, well, why? Why aren't you homeschooling? And they said, well, I don't ever want to put my wife through what my mother went through. And it just sounds kind of keenly negative. Like whatever was visible, what was being seen in the expression of that light momentary affliction, it was something that made the child say, you know, I don't want to inflict that kind of pain and misery on my wife. So pay attention. Winning a trophy, getting a grand achievement in human affairs, that's nice, and it does cost, and there is sacrifice involved. But all those things are passing away. The Lord is preparing jewels, his precious jewels, that he himself is hoping to display forever and ever. And so by God's help, you paying attention to the moment. I was in, I guess I'm going to lie and talk about the Philippines just a tiny bit, but I've been overseas a couple times, and what I'm astonished about when I'm overseas is, of course, I just have this little tiny bit of time to talk and to share, and it's constructed in some fashion or another with a particular objective. But they were hoping that I would mix in philosophy with, you know, the nuts and bolts of the academic elements. And I just had a release of the spirit to do so, and it's one of those things where it's like all I've ever taught my whole life just came bubbling up in pretty short blips of encouraging thought. But one of the things that I did was just give a little bit of our testimony, and I just phrased part of our testimony in a particular way, and I was describing how my wife and I, having come to God, had found that excellence of joy and peace that we knew nowhere else, and so we were just wholeheartedly committed to the Lord, full of joy. And so then as we got married, we saw that as a part of God's call on our life, that God was calling us to marriage. So it was as much a missionary endeavor as it was a romance. I mean, the romance lasts forever, but the call, having that call be securely understood as coming from God, even though it was momentary, it was huge. So then I just shared a little bit of how we came across the process of deciding on how many children to have. I'm just having a liberty to speak our testimony in the spirit, and I just put it in simple terms. I said, well, we had already known one thing was true. The greatest thing we had ever experienced ourselves was to know God. And to have that hope of living with him forever, it was so deeply satisfying, so significant. And so when we were married and started discussing the question of having children, we looked around us, and in the Protestant world, I come from a Catholic background, in the Protestant world, I was like, everybody, well, they put my wife on birth control. I wasn't even included in the discussion. It was just part of the normal Protestant ethic. Oh, well, you have children that you think you can afford and handle, and it's a decision made by the couple. And so I remember in Bible college, I think I told them a little bit of the story where I'm arguing with my peers. I guess it was a peer. He was married also. And he was putting forth the suggestion that, well, you really shouldn't have any more children than you can actually care for. You know, I mean, that's not right. I mean, children are expensive and they require a lot, and you shouldn't have any more than you can care for. And it struck me, stunning struck me. And I thought, and I told him, I said, well, if I base how many children I'm going to have on what I think I can take care of, we're having zero. Because I don't imagine that I'm capable of taking care of any of them. I mean, really, if it's up to me to judge what's valuable enough. So I went on and I expressed this mechanism, how Sally and I, wrestled through the decision, the discussion. And I read the Bible, and it was fun, just the Lord allowing this recap to take place. So openly and from the heart. But I went to Genesis 3, which is the chapter dealing with the fall of man. And in chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it describes how God made an adjustment in the family based upon the fall. And the adjustment that God made was, for the woman, he increased the difficulty of her pregnancy. So sometimes it's translated pain, otherwise it's labor. It's actually the term that means hard labor. In fact, they call it labor, really, from that biblical term. Increased the labor, the number of children, and the amount of intensity of stress those children would bring on the woman and on the marriage relationship. And then to the husband, he says, while I'm expanding the number of children you have to feed, I'm going to shrink your garden. And you're going to grow thorns and thistles. It's going to be hard to make it. And so as a brand new Christian, I'm seeing this visible snapshot, which actually is on the screen right now in that visible understanding. In order to reach eternity, in order to reach the eternal goals, you have to push past temporal values. You can't ever reach eternal goals by mucking around in temporal values and temporal evaluations. And so I just simply expressed, I said, well, my wife and I decided, well, since God's plan is that children and family is a huge trial and a huge hardship, and that he's worked that hardship out intentionally, for our good and his glory, my wife and I decided to receive from the Lord whatever he would send. I just put it in that basic phrase, which is what we did, and leave it up to the Lord. I'm not capable of making that choice. And so it was an amazing thing that happened privately later. I was visited by a couple of the staff who told me that the Spirit had ministered to them that the word they used was a single understanding of the ministry of raising children is something you receive from God. You don't tell God what the ministry is. You receive from him the ministry that he chooses for you. And you leave your opinion out of it. It's not up to you. And so a couple of them were just rejoicing with the breakthrough in their own understanding that they could trust God, the Lord, and receive from the Lord the children he had for them. And that was a part of their faith. It was a part of that action of faith. But it is, I don't mean to put it negatively, but it is difficult to raise a family. You could say it's an affliction. But that affliction is preparing a more eternal weight of glory. And for me and my wife, I mean, I just like, you know, I just told Sally, I said, how could I ever, by my willful choice, deny that a child could come into the world and experience the love of God and know him forever? I said, there's no amount of hardship that we could ever endure as a family. What if we had a big family and we were just totally impoverished? And it was just, you know, so hard to live that we could barely get by. It doesn't matter. If my kids know the Lord and enjoy eternity, they're going to look at me in heaven and say, thanks for letting me be born. Thank you. So it's that vision. So I want to just encourage us as we go through. Your greatest enemy that you'll ever have in your homeschooling is you and your comfort and your desire to have things running smoothly so you can manage everything and keep things in line and run the perfect little household with the perfect little family for the perfect little moment that's passing away. Hardship, difficulty, the need. Put yourself in the place where you need to be renewed every day. That's the place that God wants you. Yeah, I've said this a gazillion times, but I'll say it again in closing here. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Delight. Everything was absolutely a retirement party. I mean, we're just moseying about, enjoying life, picking fruit as we have something to eat, and just yada yada, it's a nice fun time. But what God couldn't achieve in the lavish luxury of the garden, he is achieving through the hardship and the suffering, where we recognize this life is never going to be the place where I'm going to express my end and my hope and my happiness. This life is where I'm going to learn to cling to eternal life, cling to the Heavenly Father. So getting back to our closing panel and application, there it is. Your values and how you believe and think and respond matter. Your kids are watching. You can say all you want, but they're really only going to be confident of truth that you actually live before them. with undimmed clarity. And that clarity isn't going to come by you being the well-managed mom. The clarity is going to become, it's going to come when you are overcome beyond your resources. And you have nothing within yourself, nothing within those resources to use to get through. And it's at that point you show all good faith. And you trust God and you walk faithfully, if nothing else, so that your children see what it looks like to walk faithfully in a difficult time. And remembering one thing, don't ever underestimate the value of the moment. You know, the whole homeschooling ministry began as the Lord dealt with me out of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes filled with the phrase, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. There's never been anything done that hasn't been done again, and there's no end to all this turmoil and difficulty. And in chapter 3, got to that place where he said, God put eternity in the hearts of man, but he can't fathom it. So we all want to do big things for God. Then he went on a little later, and I know that whatever God does, it lasts forever. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it, but God does it so that men might fear him. One of the fears that I've always struggled with as a Christian is doing something important for God and struggling that if it's really important for God, other people are going to say, wow, that was important. And what has been painful and hard to learn is, no, it's not whether somebody else says, oh, wow, that's important. It's whether somebody else says, what are you doing that for? It's so stupid. And you know you're doing it unto the Lord. And so without any reference to the praise of men, you just, in the moment, trust the Lord. And you do this thing. And you have no idea it's going to shine forever and eternity. But it is. I mean, that we might be, to the praise of his glorious grace, probably my best line in the, when we were starting to talk about record keeping was in Philippines was, I just said, so why are records important? And I said, well, God's keeping records, and when you die, he's going to open the books. So maybe it'd be helpful for you to take a little bit of look at what am I doing? Give yourself some objective perspective, and it seemed to kind of light up a few faces of the eternal value of a good record-keeping plan. But the picture is, it's not going to waste. I remember as a child, I'll kind of close with this because I'm going over and over and over, but as a child, I remember going to an aquarium in D.C. I was probably in 6th or 7th grade, don't really remember, but anyway, went to this aquarium and there's these beautiful fish. Incredible, gorgeous fish. And it said on the little thing, these fish have never been seen by man before. Now I'm a child, you have to give me credit for that, but you know what I immediately thought? What a waste that such beauty would be hidden and nobody can see it. Now I'm a child, but I was also had a faith-based upbringing. And a little small voice whispered to me, God has been watching his creation forever. And if God sees it, isn't that enough glory? And it was hard for me as a child. I mean, I basically, the thought came to me, but I had to kind of, well, I'm sorry. It should be more visible for everybody to enjoy. Struggling with the humanity, but just never forget that. If God will create a beautiful fish and hide it in the depths of the sea, and he enjoys it himself. Catechism. Did you ever have catechism? We had catechism. Who made you? God made me. Why did God make you? God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to live forever with him in heaven. That was my first grade catechism and added a lot of foundation to my life. Perspective comes from God's perspective, and not ours. And so the truth of it is, our light, momentary affliction, just one day, even though it's 50 years, light, momentary affliction translates into an incredible expression of glory for all of eternity. And we're going to be hooting and hollering. And you know what? I think this is my view, but I think what's going to happen in heaven is we're going to get to see all the hidden fish of beauty that God created in the hearts of people who suffered in silence away from the view of man, but trusted him and glorified him. And that's the objective. Living for his glory, not for our success. Let's pray. So Lord, we come in Jesus' name and we thank you. We thank you that we have every expectation that as your children, you're going to have death working in us so that out of our life, out of our looking death in the face and trusting you and laying a hold of eternal life, we're going to be a source of life for others. And we just ask that, Lord, for our children. And we ask, Lord, for the blood of the atonement which Jesus shed to cover our sins, where we so often get consumed by our frustrations, and we express that frustration openly in the quietness of our family behind closed doors. Lord, forgive us and help us to instead, behind closed doors when no one but our children are looking, to beam forth the glory and the hope of that glory as we go through your assignments, trials you've assigned to us, with faith, with joy, for your sake, and thus with glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, with that, we've come to the end of the broadcast for today. We hope that you've been encouraged by this message called Treasures in Jars of Clay. It's part of the 2018-19 workshop series given at the Wellspring Christian Family Schools workshop, which happened from September through March, six workshops for our homeschooling families involved in the program. You can check out previous workshop messages as well as other wonderful content. We just recently had an interview with missionary Rachel Wilson. You can check that out. Just go to wcfs.edu. Click on the resources tab and you'll find our radio broadcast there. We hope that you will listen to those. You can download them and listen to them on your smartphone, or you can share them via social media. We hope that you'll enjoy them that way. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please do so. You can send us an email at radio@wcfs.edu, or you can pick up the phone and give us a call at 301-241-2072. Family by Design is a ministry of Wellspring Christian Family Schools, which is a K-12 homeschool academy in the state of Maryland. We also have distance programs for homeschool families outside of the state of Maryland, so we hope that you'll visit our website and check out those programs. On behalf of everybody here at Family by Design, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping that you have a wonderful Holy Week as we look forward to the celebration of Easter. And next week we will have an Easter message from Pastor Gary, and we hope that you'll tune in then. For everybody here at Wellspring Christian Family Schools and Family by Design, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping you'll join us next week right here as we continue to treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.